know. Jesus initiated this meeting tonight. He said, if you will create a place for me, I will come. And he's been coming. And tonight, it's all about Jesus. That's what I felt in my spirit as we were preparing. I could feel Jesus's hunger for our friendship and for us to just be with him. He wants to take us corporately to be with him where he is tonight. He wants us to press in and love him and pour everything that we can and that we are out at his feet until we connect, and then he will host us. Come on in. Just be at home. You're welcome. We're just about to pray. I also just want to say to everybody, you know, this is a gathering of family. This is about encountering Jesus Christ. It's not a church meeting. It's just the family of God coming together to encounter the King, because he's invited us to come and be with him. And he's pouring out revelation every time we meet. And what he said this evening is he wants to pour out revelation of who he is, and in that encounter become a mirror to us and enable us to see who we are again. And he also said to me, tonight is when the physical miracles are going to start. We've had loads of people that have given testimony of emotional healing from all sorts of things, and he said tonight the physical miracles will start as well. Hang on. Holy Spirit, we give you full freedom in this place. Full freedom. We are yours. We are so hungry and thirsty for you, to know you, and to know who we are in you. So, I pray, using the words of Paul, to wash off all the effects of this week from our hearts and to cause our minds to ascend again onto the things above. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, and Jesus is all of those things. He says, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you as you focus on those things. So as we put our minds on him this evening, at this time, the God of peace has promised to come and be with us. Colossians 3, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Jesus. And the last one I want to pray. These are prayers that are answered. These are Holy Spirit-inspired prayers. So we can expect them to become our reality. The last one, Ephesians 1, one of my favorite prayers. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And in some of the translations, that word is translated flooded with light. I pray also that the eyes of your heart would be flooded with light in order that you may know, experience the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, all authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So lay aside everything that hinders you entering into his presence tonight. Abandon yourselves to him. Focus on him. Let the God of peace come and invade every part of you and crush the enemy under your feet. Focus on Jesus. Focus on heaven. Let the Spirit of God come now and flood the eyes of your heart with light. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to touch us and open up our spiritual senses and fill us with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of Jesus. Every person here transformed tonight, Jesus, in your presence.
There's a lot of freedom here tonight. There's a freedom to express yourself. Tell God exactly where you're at without any condemnation. So ask him to set you free.
Before Mark said that, Jesus kept saying to me over us, freedom is your portion. Freedom is your portion. For I have come to set the captives free. And I can feel a pull. We'll have a time where we can respond to him later and come and just soak. I can feel a pull of his presence like the healing pool of Bethesda, where we can just come and we can dip. So if you, as you're worshiping, just engage by faith, just begin to open yourself wide up, give him every need. He wants to meet every single one of our needs through his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And the realm of his presence is here. The key is in the glory. He meets our needs in him, in the glory, in his presence. So as soon as we touch his presence, just begin to drink and receive his glory light into any wound you have, into any physical need you have. And just begin as worship, just adore him, just thank him. It glorifies him as we receive the supernatural touch of his presence and are healed and made whole. He died that we could be free. So if you want to stay where you are, if you want to kneel at the front, if you want to move around, dance, just be free to express yourself. Like Mark said, there is freedom in this place to express yourself. This is all about Jesus tonight. It's about encountering Jesus and receiving a touch from the King that will transform your life. He's the lifter of our head, and he's gently moving around, and he's lifting our head, and he's taking off filthy garments of shame and low self-esteem and low self-worth. and where the world and where the enemy and where the circumstances have told us who we are, defined us, where our self-image is out of whack with the truth of who we really are as royalty. He's taking off his behavior. He's cleansing our hearts so and wanting to fill us and saturate us again, so that the fruit as we abide in him, the fruit of our life changes. We begin to increasingly manifest the behavior of the King as his life is expressed increasingly through us. He's taking off us behaviors that are not befitting of royalty. He's empowering us to walk, to connect and walk in who we really are in God. He's opening our eyes. He's saying, come and behold me in the glory and remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember who you are. I don't look at your weakness. I don't define you as the world defines you. You are my bride. You are my counterpart. You are my reward. You are the joy that was set before me as I endured the agony of the cross. You are my inheritance. You are royalty. As I am, so are you in the earth. So come to me and drink from me and receive all that I've purchased for you to walk in. Freedom is your portion. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to struggle with depression and despair and hopelessness and abandonment and rejection. You don't have to live isolated. You don't have to hide from me. I see you. I love you. I died for you. I adore you. I'm bringing you forth in my love without spot or blemish or wrinkle, to be with me, to rule with me, to reign with me, to enjoy me, to know me forever, forever. So dive into the pool of my presence that I'm making available to each of you now. For I desire to be known by you. Will you please open your heart to me as I open mine to you? Would you dare to turn away and trust me again? Turn away from your pain? Would you dare to hope again? Would you dare to believe? I've seen the struggles. I've seen the pain. I've seen the tears in the corners of your room in the darkness of night. I've seen the despair. I've seen the hopelessness. I've heard your heart crying out, where are you? And I'm saying to you, I'm here. I'm here. I'm with you. I'm in you. I'm here to touch you and change you and heal you, bring shalom to you and set you free. My angels have been released to break the shackles from your ankles, to break the shackles from around your neck and around your wrists, everything that's held you into the dust. I'm setting you free. I'm clothing you with dignity. I'm bestowing upon you this evening splendor. I'm reclothing your hearts. I'm putting the garments of glory, of my identity around you. For I do not condemn you. I do not judge you. I came to save you. I came to give you peace. I came to bring you freedom. I came to make you whole. I rescued you out of the darkness, out of the futility of a broken humanity. And now you are mine. Now you are a new creation in me forever. You are no longer human beings. You are a new creation in me. So behold your Lamb that was slain for each of you before the foundation of the earth. Behold the Lamb. The Lamb. I am among you. I am walking among you. And I will meet your needs, your every need. For through those touches, you will know me. You will know my love. You will rest in me. You will enter into the more of me. I want to show you and bring you the fullness of your inheritance, everything I died for you to know, to have. Streams of living water will flow out of the innermost depths of your beings. you will be carriers of my glory, and my rivers will touch every life around you. It will touch the barrenness in your own life. So come tonight and drink, and let me fill you with the wine of my presence. Let me fill you up and heal you. And together we'll run back into your life, into the nations, you fully filled, partnering with me. So take my hand now and come. I'm going to show you things that are beyond everything you've even hoped for or imagined. Tonight, now, I am with you, and I am opening up your eyes to see me.
Just keep pressing in and keep focusing on the Lord as we just begin to go deeper into his presence and into the place that he has prepared for us this evening. I just want to share a word, as it just seems like the right moment to bring this. As I was preparing for tonight's meeting, the Lord gave me a dream, and in the dream there was a man that came into the dream, and his name was Dan. And in the dream, I was standing talking to him, but out of the very, very depths of my being, there came a cry, and the cry was of coming from a place of very, very deep weariness, and a place where I had actually given up. And I stood and I said to this man called Dan, that I couldn't carry on in the place where I was anymore. And it was a very deep, deep place inside my being. And when I woke from the dream, I was concerned, and I lifted this dream before the Lord, and I thought, Lord, what does this dream mean? And instantly the scripture came to me from Proverbs 13, verse 12. And the scripture is that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I knew that the dream was telling me that there is a place, and I think that there was application for myself personally, but I felt very much that there was an application for us as we met here in this place tonight, as we come together as the bride of Christ to receive more of our identity, to know fully who we are in him, to be able to have that power in our spirit to begin to reach for the fullness of that love of Jesus, and to know him, to experience what it means to abide in him and for him to abide in us. And so I knew that somewhere very deep in my being, that this place of contending and standing for something, that in the dream I was saying, I cannot carry on anymore with this, and I was giving up. And so hope deferred makes the heart sick. I felt the Lord saying to me that I'd come to a place, and it felt like a place of intercession for the body of Christ, that it's about the timing that we stand in right now. And it's relevant for all of us here, but it's relevant for the body of Christ, that we need to guard our hearts, because we have come to a time where we are so close now to bringing forth, and so close to bringing forth the thing that God has birthed and laid like a seed in the depth of our spirit. And we must guard our hearts and be careful. And as I studied the scriptures, there was a cross-reference from this proverb 13 verse 12 to Genesis chapter 30. And I was interested. I thought, wow, going back to Genesis. Well, okay. And so I looked the scripture up. And the scripture, the cross-reference, took me to the story of Rachel and Jacob. And Rachel was crying out to her husband in her barrenness, give me children, or I die. Her heart had become sick through hope deferred. Jacob's response, what do you want me to do? I am not God. And so Rachel took matters into her own hands, and she gave Jacob her servant girl, Bilhah. And Bilhah had a son in her place. Rachel said, if I can't have a family myself, I will build one through someone else. And Rachel's, the child that Rachel's servant had was named Dan. So I knew God was speaking to me, because the man in the dream that I was talking to was also called Dan. Hope deferred. If we take matters into our own hands, we can bring forth. But it will not be the fullness and the best of what God has in mind for us. Dan came forth and God blessed it. God turned something that was not his best into something that was good, and Dan became an honored son. He became the father of one of the tribes of Israel. But in the fullness of time, Rachel had her own children. And the first child that Rachel had was Joseph. Joseph was the great, great grandson of Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise. He told Abraham, there's a land for you. There's a place I'm going to give to you. You will receive it by faith. And Abraham believed God. That DNA traveled down the family line into Joseph. Joseph believed the promise of God that came to his great-great-grandfather. Joseph carried the conviction in his own spirit that one day, and this was when he was in Egypt, he'd risen and he'd become powerful in the realm of government, in the place where the children of God were held captive. Joseph believed the promise that God had given to Abraham two generations before, that one day they would be free. And he was so convicted of it that he said to his sons and to the ones that were around him, in that day, when you are set free from this land of Egypt and you go forth into the promised land, take my bones with you. And that day came. 800 years after the promise was given to Abraham, the children made it into the promised land. And it was through a descendant of Joseph. Joseph's children, the half-tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, Joshua was from one of those tribes. He carried it in his bloodline, and he took the children of Israel through into the promise and into the fulfillment of what God had spoken to Abraham about. So I believe that, I know in my spirit that there are people here tonight. You are standing in a place where your heart is aching through hope deferred. And as we press into the place that God has got for us tonight, I'm going to pray, I'm going to decree over us, and we are going to agree together right now. And so for those of you that you know, even this week, that your heart has been aching before God and you've been on the point of giving up because the circumstances say it's never going to come to pass, your past experience says the thing you're believing for will never come to pass. The biggest enemy of faith is not unbelief. It's our memory. It's the things that are in the past that stand up against what God has spoken to us about, and it becomes that stronghold that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But I say to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, guard your heart, for that thing that he has spoken to you about will surely be fulfilled. Rachel faltered, and in her heart sickness, Dan came forth. But God blessed it, and he yet fulfilled the promise that he'd given to Abraham. He saw to it that through Rachel, Joseph was born. And that son carried faith for a promise that had to survive for hundreds and hundreds of years. So for those of you that this word means something to you tonight, and it stands as a hindrance to the love of Jesus being able to come deep into your heart, and for you to know that he is faithful and that this word concerning the bride is for you, bring that hope forth in the name of Jesus. Bring it forth. For faith is the substance of things hoped for. What we hope for in God activates our faith. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness to us, that even in our weakness, God, you do not give up on us, that you yet fulfill the promises that you have spoken to us about. And even though Rachel, as an honored wife of Jacob, became weary in waiting for a child, and she took matters into her own hands, O God, you watched over the promise that you had given to her, that you had given to her forefathers, that you had given to Abraham himself, and you were faithful to bring it to pass. Father, I think of the dreams, I think of the hopes right now that are being activated in people's hearts and people's spirits. Holy Spirit, just begin to breathe. Holy Spirit, move. In the hearts and the minds, in the very fiber of our being, the very deepest dreams that have come from you, O God, we reach out right now. We reach out, O God, to the promises that are in your heart that you are longing to release to us in this earth realm. And I say in the name of Jesus, let hope revive. Let hope revive in you. Let hope revive in you. Let hope revive in you. For a hope and a longing and a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. As we move on now in this time of worship and pressing in, just keep now that hope before you and allow Jesus to begin to come to you and to begin to minister to you, to begin to restore to you the joy that's been laid aside and to take away from you the fatigue and the weariness because of the waiting. Let him dry your tears. Let him comfort the anxiety that has gripped your heart for fear that you will have to struggle on and that you will never see these things fulfilled. For that is what he is here to do. I bless you in the name of Jesus.
I don't know what it is about the story of the woman at the well, but for the last 3 or 4 months, everywhere I go, I just keep hearing the story of the woman at the well. We had an event in our church just a couple of weeks ago. A guy came to speak on the Sunday, and he brought a well. I'm going, okay, God, it's a famous story. And this is not my revelation, but it sat with me for a month or so. So I'm just throwing it out there. Because Jesus went to the well, and the woman at the well wasn't already there. She came a bit later. So Jesus could have gone to the well and got himself a drink, but he actually waited for the woman and said, "Can you give me a drink?" He was thirsty. She gave him something. And in return, he opened up her whole life and brought salvation to her town. So there's no deep theology that I'm going to go into because I haven't got any. But there was just this emphasis on God saying, "I'm thirsty." Jesus saying, "Can you get me a drink? I'm thirsty." So he painted this picture of Jesus thirsting, not in a dictatorial way or a narcissistic way or whatever, but there's something about him that he's thirsty for our love and for our worship. And in return, he just gives out and gives out and gives out. That may not be a new picture for a lot of you. It's a totally new picture for me when I heard it. Totally a new picture. There's something about it that just keeps on coming back. And I go, "Oh, shall I say it? Shall I say it? It's not mine." Yeah. And there's a scene in the heavenly throne, isn't there? With the four creatures. And one of the creatures, or all the creatures, I can't remember how many of them are, they're just covered in eyes, covered in eyes. And all they do all day long and all night long is sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And this chap said, "What did Jesus ever do for them?" Think about it. Totally outside the box for me. Never thought about it. We know what Jesus has done for us. But they're in the throne room. Seeing God in his full glory. Eyes everywhere. Perceiving the love of God. Just a picture that might be helpful for some.
Don't lose this place. Just keep breathing. Breathing in his presence. He's here. The lover of our souls. The lifter of our heads. The healer of our hearts. I'm just going to speak quietly. I just feel it's really important. The most important thing for all of us is that we just stay in the presence of God. I don't want to cut across what he's doing. So just keep breathing him in as I'm speaking. I'll just follow what he shows me to say. Just keep breathing in the oxygen of heaven, the oxygen of his presence, receiving him deeply into you. Let his beautiful spirit permeate every single part of your life. He's causing you to fall in love with him again. He's giving you back first love. He's lifting very gently out all the years of hope deferred, of disappointment, of loneliness and pain and hopelessness. He's just lifting things out. He's pouring himself in. He's neutralizing the acid of life's difficulties. He's alkalining us with his beauty, with his presence. There's no part of you that he's not going to permeate. He's lifting our heads. He's anointing us. I can see him walking around, anointing people's head with oil. He's releasing fresh anointings. Anointings for freedom, for deliverance, for healing, for revelation, for protection. You're so beautiful, Jesus. He's opening our hearts up to understand our matchless worth. The value that each of us have that's beyond price. Just, I'm going to share an encounter that I had with Jesus. And as I share it, just stay focused on him, because for those of you that haven't heard me before, all the encounters that I have with Jesus offer as corporately as the bride. And so as I'm releasing the testimony of Jesus to you, it's the spirit of prophecy. It's our corporate reality, our corporate inheritance. So just enter in and just receive it yourself. This is, as I speak the encounter, I release to you hope of what's coming, of what he's doing now. Holy, holy, holy. And I pray for an impartation now, Holy Spirit, of everything that I received personally and for us corporately, to be released to each one of us. Jesus came to me about 3 weeks ago, and he stood in front of me and he put on my feet the sandals that he wore when he walked the earth, and he put onto me the robe that he wore, and he knelt down and he kissed my right foot. And as he did, I was absolutely undone, and I just wept and wept. And what happened in that moment as he kissed my foot, the extraordinary love that he has for us and our value pierced my heart. And I was absolutely wrecked for hours, well, days afterwards, but for hours, as the revelation, the experience and the revelation of our matchless worth, the value that we have, pierced me. And it touched the deepest places in me. It penetrated through insecurity, lack of self-worth, like the deepest places where parts of me were still separated, still operating out of an independent place, not fully resting and resting in the truth of his love and the experience of his love. And it just permeated me, and then I was catapulted up into the throne room. And I was flying over the top of the throne room, and there were thousands and thousands of people of the redeemed, and they were worshipping, and there was this huge declaration going up before the throne, and over and over and over, they just kept saying, "It is finished, it is finished, it is finished." And it was the sound, the frequency that was coming out from heaven, this sound was like cascading through me, and then I felt it cascading over us. It was literally being released over all of us. It is finished. And I knew in that moment that the revelation of the finished work of the cross, there were multiple levels of revelation, but the finished work of the cross, the absolute complete finished work of the cross, all that has become ours because of what Jesus did, is going to be the revelation that's going to flood us. And then I felt I was to look up afterwards. I was to look up what "it is finished" means in the original Aramaic and the Hebrew. And the word in the Aramaic, which obviously is the last, these are the last words that Jesus spoke when he said, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit to the Father. That word in the Aramaic is halah. And that word has two meanings. It's like two sides of the same coin. And the first part means complete. But the other part is the word bride. So what Jesus did when the last thing he said on the cross was bride. As he died, he birthed us. He decreed, it's complete, bride, now bride. And then I looked up bridegroom, because he's our bridegroom king, what that means in the Hebrew. And it means literally the one who enters into covenant. So our bridegroom God paid the ultimate price with his death. He paid the ultimate bride price. He knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah, of course he knew exactly what he was doing. He cut a covenant with his blood and he purchased for himself his bride. And as I looked at this word going, oh my goodness, Jesus. So you said, hala, you decreed the coming forth of the bride. You became the one who brings us into covenant with you. As I kept saying it over and over and over, I saw again the throne room, and what all the redeemed in heaven are decreeing over the body of Christ right now is, bride, 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 completion, completion. We're coming into a place where we are going to be saturated with the experience of the love that Jesus has for us, that held the nails in place, and the revelation of who he is, what his covenant with us means, who we are in him. Jesus. And then he showed me that the reason why he put the garments on me, on us, his sandals and his garment, he's entrusting now his ministry to those that have been pierced with his love, that know our worth. That's the invitation that he's extending to us. He's going to entrust his ministry to those that know his love. We're going to shine and reveal Jesus and redeem the earth. And it all is from a place of encountering his love to such an extent that everything in us comes into the experience of our value, of our matchless worth. Jesus. He said, all that he did, all that he did, and greater works we will do, all the miracles, all the signs, all the wonders, everywhere he went, the touch, the smile, the lepers cleansed, the widow being given back her son who died, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the compassion of Christ pouring out, humanity redeemed, the life of the king, the realm of his authority, his kingdom coming on earth as he resides within us, as we walk with him everywhere we go, shining, secure, resting on the inside, absolutely filled with his love. This is our inheritance. This is what's coming. This is the invitation he's extending to us. He's saying, come and receive my covenant. It's like another level of understanding, another level. He's bringing us forth from one degree of glory to the next, in his presence, into wholeness, preparing us for forever to be the counterpart of God, made in the very substance and likeness of his being. You know, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The very Spirit of the living God indwells us. He is righteousness. He is righteousness. He is all-powerful. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is wisdom. He is love. He is light. In him we are the light of the world. And it's the fruitfulness comes from intimacy. And he's into me, you see. And so he's inviting us with another level of understanding to just come to him like they do in the Jewish betrothal customs. They enter into covenant as the bridegroom extends the cup of covenant, the communion cup, to his bride. As she receives it and she drinks from that cup, she enters in to a legally binding covenant contract for the rest of her life. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's extending this invitation now to come to him. To be clothed, to experience his love, to have every place of insecurity and false identity just obliterated out of us, healed, completely saturated out of us, as his love pierces the depth of our being and we are set free. And then he's clothing us with his ministry. And the miracles will activate as we experience his love. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy, whoa, holy is the Lord. He wants us to live fully filled. He wants us to live in the experience of perfect love. He died that we would know him. He wants to be known by us. That's why he's come this evening. This is all about him. As we access his presence, he begins to enfold us and fill us and saturate us and heal us. Healed in the glory, being taken from one degree of glory to the next, one level of infilling of the glory of God to the next. He wants to show us who we are. He wants us to remember who we are as he comes as a mirror. And he says, look at me. As I am, so are you in this world. I'm the firstborn among many. This is who you are. Look at the beauty of me and see who you are. Look at the authority. This is the authority I've bestowed upon you. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And in me you inherit all things. Come and see who you are. Come and see your matchless worth. Come and look into the eyes of love and be transformed. See how safe you are. See how secure you are. See how faithful I am. I am faithful. I am your covenant-keeping God. There is no darkness in me. There are no lies in me. There's no deception. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am your life. I am Source, Abba, Father. Come and drink. Come and receive. For I am with you. I am in you always, to the very end of the age. Everything I've promised to you in my ketubah, in my testament, everything I have promised to you, I desire for you to receive. You do not need to beg. You need to receive. Come and receive. Come and drink. I desire that you know my love. I desire that you know my ways. I desire that you are filled with my wisdom, that you understand my precepts, my principles, my promises, your inheritance, my kingdom, your home. You are mine and I am yours, and nothing can separate you from me. Nothing. Nothing. I am your covenant-keeping God. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. Look at who I am. Look at my name. You have the use of my name. You are my bride. You have the use of my name. Look at my name. Look at my name. Look at my name in the Hebrew. Look at my name. That is the revelation to you of who I am. You are mine. You are my body. You are my people. You are my church. You are my inheritance. I desire to pour my life through you, to touch broken humanity and restore it, to release my presence through you across the face of the earth. I want you to run with me in the nations in mature ministry, filled with my love, filled with my glory, partnering with me, activating destiny, setting the captives free, breaking open the prison's doors, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, releasing my life, my resurrection life. You are ambassadors of the kingdom. I break off you where you've been beaten up and trodden down and oppressed. I set you free today. Now I set you free. Oh, oh, look at me. See who you are. Miracles, signs, wonders, healing, deliverance is for my children. It's your inheritance. Come and receive it. I release to you fresh impartations of the gift of faith to activate you now to rise up and begin to eat of me. Enter in and receive. Ho, whoa, all of your needs are met. All of your needs are met. Through me, in glory, holy. Wow. Phew. Just respond to Jesus' invitation. Just respond. He has got so much to pour out to each one of us tonight. Don't leave this place barren. He's here. The King of Glory is here. He wants to penetrate your heart with his love. He wants you to know him. Know his love. Know his beauty. Know his power. Whew. He wants his testimony to increase in the earth through your lives. Every need met. Wow. Wow. Shining ones. He's bringing us forth as shining ones to display the manifold wisdom of God in the earth as his bride, as his people, as the revelation of who he is in this realm. Whoa. So just say yes. He's extending his cup of covenant again. And just receive, drink of him. Let's just go back into some worship. And just, if you want prayer, come down to the front. There is such a presence at the front. Just come and kneel. Let it be between your heart and Jesus' heart. He has so much, so much to pour out to each one. He wants us to see the treasure that we are, and he wants us to see the treasures in each other. He wants us to be free from lower realm thinking, from defining each other by our weaknesses, from fear, from self-preservation. That's all the old man. Put it away. Put it away. Remember who you are. Behold the King and remember who you are. Remember who you are. Receive your birthright. Healing is the children's bread. It's our portion. It's our portion. The enemy is defeated. We're to rise up as his people. Rise up in governmental authority. Begin to break the chains off yourself. Don't tolerate darkness anymore. Freedom is our portion. It's our portion. Receive, 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 receive. He is not a man that he can lie. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he's in love with you. He died for you. All under the blood. Take off the shabby garments from around your heart. Take off the hope deferred. Take it off. Take off fear. Take off unbelief. Take it off. Take off the lies of the enemy. Take off the things that have held you down. Take off insecurity, doubt. Just take it off. They're old, like old garments. Just climb out of them and put them under the blood. They're not befitting for royalty. Clothe yourself in the garments of God, in the garment of righteousness. Put on your crown. Take hold of your scepter. You are royalty. 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 You are not defined by your weakness. What the enemy's spoken over you is a lie. We break agreement now. I break the power of the accuser of the brethren. Of everything from the realm of darkness that has sought to separate us from each other, to separate us from the presence of God. The religious spirit's had its day, it's over. The realm of darkness is defeated. Rise up and see again, see again, see again. Eyes to see, eye salve. Holy Spirit's releasing eye salve. Thank you, Jesus. We are a new creation. We are the government of God in the earth. We are the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. It is to be on earth as it is in heaven. He's calling us to see, see who he is. See heaven. Understand his ways. Receive who he is. Remember who we are and release it here. We are the light of the world in him. People will look upon us and they will see the shining beauty of the King. Just really keep your eyes on Jesus. Just showed me that in our various situations, it's been like we've been in a prison behind doors, and I just saw the Lord pull the doors open and His glory just poof, like, went in and came out.
Jesus.
As we keep pressing in, I just want to share something. While Liz was ministering, and I started to see that the atmosphere is absolutely full of the letters of the Hebrew language. It's like they are absolutely, that the air is charged with the Word of God. It's full of it. It's full. And so I know that what we speak, that there's power in the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the Word. Whew. And the Word is coming forth. The Word is coming forth. The Word is coming forth. The Word is in you. The Word is in you. Receive it. Receive the Word of God. receive that Hebrew language. Receive it. Receive it deep in your being right now in Jesus' name. Let the word enter. Make way, make room. Let it come inside of you. That creative word. The word that was spoken, the word that holds everything together, that binds the whole universe and keeps it stable, that word is here. It's in the atmosphere, creative miracles, the power of the word of God. That word is here. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. In your DNA, as Jesus spoke you forth, you are a word. Your very being is made up in your DNA of the Hebrew language. He spoke you into being. You are a word. And there is a vibration, and there is a resonance. There's a resonance for you tonight. As Jesus speaks over you, the very word that created you in the first place, in the name of Jesus, I decree it, alignment, alignment, alignment with the word that was spoken over you and caused you to come forth in your mother's womb. I speak alignment over you in the name of Jesus, alignment in your inner man as the word dwells richly in you. Displaces all of the lies, for the word is the truth. We speak the word of God. We speak that Hebrew, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai, Adonai. We worship you.
Do you feel His healing presence? Some of you, I think, are now beginning to feel it deeply. But there's also an impartation happening here. There are mantles are being transferred. There are gifts are being transferred. And some of you have been reaching forward to the Lord for gifts to come to you. You felt that they're there, but I feel there's a maturing coming through tonight. That there's an impartation. So, Lord, I just release an impartation of healing over everybody who needs it, any form, mental, physical, emotional. Lord, I just declare unblocking of all wells And everybody who needs unblocking of wells and releasing the life force of the river life through their bodies now. We declare a shalom, everybody who needs peace. Because as he said, when you trust in me, that's actually taking refuge in me. And that's coming into peace inside him. So release that healing peace over people who need peace, where they've had stress. Because stress does not come from God. So we just take off all stressfulness now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We release it off you all. We just bring in the shalom from heaven of peace. The completeness of what he gives us. And anybody who needs an impartation, who feels that they've got gifts that need to be released or unblocked, or they've been held back, or the enemy's held them back, Lord, we just ask you to come forward to just be imparted to. Because I really feel in the spirit there are people here with great gifts which are blocked and being held back, and they're either afraid of using them, or they've been put down and told, no, you haven't got it. Thank you, Lord.
Holy One, we stand before you in awe tonight. We just humble our hearts before you again, and we just thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for what you've done, what you're doing by your Spirit. Lord, thank you for this hidden well. Oh, it's just over there behind the hedges. It's hidden. But it's a place in this dry place where people can come for a drink. Lord, we just bless Great Britain right now. We bless this nation.
Yes.
Lord, even the vision that you gave me, where you said you're breathing life into the body of Christ, and I saw Westminster Abbey, and I saw your sovereign move coming through the house. I saw the queen crying. I saw the royal family just standing there in awe. They didn't know what to do, but Lord, people were getting healed. People were getting delivered. People were crying. They were reaching out. I saw it going down into Rome, into St. Peter's Square, people getting ministered to there, and I saw it going through Jerusalem and through Asia. It couldn't be stopped by any government. It was unstoppable. But Lord, I thank you, God, that there is a move of your Spirit in this great land. Lord, we stand on this ground. Lord, this is holy ground we stand on. Thank you, God, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. God, you would open our eyes. Open the eyes of the believers, even in this room and in this nation, to see that they stand on holy ground. Lord, this is the ground where John Wesley stood and preached. This is the ground where William Booth would cry out and put a red carpet in the center of the town and cry out to you and see revival come. This is the town. This is the country. Lord, where Smith Wigglesworth operated in the gift of faith. This is the country where Howard Carter got a revelation of the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit that would operate in real time. That it wasn't just a theory for the shelf, but it was something for practice. It was something for our lives. God, I thank you, God, for these ancient wells. Lord, for the word you gave me even months ago about this nation. That you're uncapping the ancient wells and you're pushing back the spirit of Antichrist off of this land. Thank you, Lord, that the enemy has to take his hands off of this land. Right now, we just even say, devil, take your hands off of this land. You don't have authority here. You must go in Jesus' name. Spirit of Antichrist, go. We have the authority. We stand in the anointing, and we tell you, you cannot have Great Britain and the UK in Jesus' mighty name. This land belongs to the Lord. This land will be an apostolic hub to the nations. People will come through these airports. People will come here to get a move of the Spirit, and they'll go out to the nations. They'll go to Asia, and they'll go to India, and they'll go to Africa like Livingston did. They'll go. They'll go to the nations from this holy ground. We release that word tonight. We release it. We declare it. The purposes of God over Great Britain. Your kingdom come and your will be done here as it is in heaven. We won't accept anything less. We're not going to accept what the tabloids say. We're not going to accept what everyone else wants to say. We listen to one voice and we hear what you, our Father, you say about this great land. And we say yes to that. Fill our hearts and fill our mouths with your word of blessing over this land. Take every bit of negativity out of our mouths, out of the mouth of all believers over this land. It's not too far gone because you're able to save to the uttermost. So turn it around, God. Turn it around, God. Turn it around. You are turning it around. It is being turned even tonight. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Lord, we thank you for those ancient wells, Lord. The part of that is not just the gift of faith and not just the gifts of the Spirit, but Lord, the Jeffrey brothers, supernatural gifts of healing. Lord, we thank you, God, that it was in the Royal Albert Hall where they would have 24 hours a day. That right here, this land, it wasn't somewhere else. It was here. It was right here. It's underneath your feet. You're standing on the well. It's here. Some of you cried out because you're so thirsty. And God says, let's get the rocks out of the well. Come on, let's go. Where's the intercessors in this land? Is there anyone who won't stand in the gap? Is there anyone who's going to get on their face and cry out to me? And get the rocks out of the well because the water's still there. The Lord's saying the water's still there and people are thirsty. They're looking for a drink. They're looking down at the pub. They're looking on the entertainment. They're looking at pornography. They're looking for something because they're thirsty. But you have the ability to open up the well. So it was at Royal Albert Hall where they would have 24 hours a day of healing services, and they would just take a few hours break to empty the people out, to bring new people in. And you heal people of rheumatoid arthritis, and their bones would stretch out. Snap, crackle, pop, they would be back to normal. But we thank you, God, that you are no respecter of races, and you're also no respecter of generations. If you did it for them, you will do it for us. You are the great I am. You live outside of time. We say yes to the moving of your spirit and the manifestation of your spirit in signs and wonders and miracles. We say yes to that now. We say you have done it before and you are doing it right now. So we thank you, God, for releasing this over this land. For releasing it over believers all across this land. That their hearts are turning, Lord, to begin to bless the royal family and bless the parliament and bless the House of Commons and bless the House of Lords and to bless, because you are the great high priest who stands in front of the mercy seat and you look upon the blood and the finished work and you declare out a blessing. You have not changed your mind. You're declaring out a blessing. You say all nations will come and worship. So Lord, we speak what you speak. We declare out a blessing over this land. And you know what? No amount of demonic activity, no amount of witchcraft, no amount of anything can stop your declaration tonight. So Lord, it's in that spirit. We just say thank you for healing for this dear sister right here. Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, even in your scriptures, you said, well, why is this person sick? Was it because they had something wrong in their family or whatever? No, you said it was for the glory of God. But we just thank you, Lord, for your glory coming over her. Oh, there we go. Let me turn around. I might got my eyes closed. What's her name? What's your name, sister? Oh, she's typing it out. Rita. Father, we just thank you for Rita right now. Just reach your hands up here towards Rita. Yes, Lord. Supernatural healing over Rita, God. Healing anointing now. Resurrection power now, God. Holy One of Israel, we thank you, Lord, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in Rita and brings life to her physical body right now. Every joint, every marrow, every muscle is not doing what it's supposed to do. We say, function properly right now in Jesus' name. Lord, your love over her. All this is just coming because of his love. Even fears you've had, Rita, of saying, why is this happening or why did this happen? Well, thank you, Lord. It's because of your love. Healing is because of your love. There's nothing to perform for it. But it's only because of your love. Lord, just your love flowing over her. You're healing the balm of Gilead. You're healing balm over her heart, over her mind, over her body. Inside and outside, Lord, everything that she needs, right now, Lord, thank you so much for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Healing anointing flowing down from heaven right now. Supernatural grace. Lord, I know I stand in a family, Lord, that has experienced physical healing. You healed my grandfather of tuberculosis when the doctor signed his death certificate. You healed my great aunt, Lord, of muscular dystrophy when they said she'd never walk again. Lord, you healed so many different people in my family. I can't stand here and say I don't believe in healing. I stand here and declare I believe in healing. I've seen it happen. And I thank you that it's happening right now in Rita's body.
body. In Jesus' name, we stand with you and we just declare what you're saying, God. You're saying healing. You're saying a new season over Rita. A new season. A new season. A new season in Jesus' name. Thank you for visitations in the night, Lord. For dreams and visions. For angels coming into a room. Saying, rise and be healed. For your love, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Just worship Him right now, right where you're at. Just worship Him. We love you, Lord. Yeah. We love you, Lord. Yeah. You're worthy of praise and honor. You are the healer, Lord. It's already done. Just accept it. Come on. Hey, come on. Declare it out. We love you, Lord, for all you've done.